uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. This is another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It's Tuesday, March 8th is the official show date, but we are now officially into Wednesday, March 9th, 2011, and we're glad you could stay up late with us tonight. And yesterday, we didn't do a Moonbat show. I did it in the evening time show yesterday, because that's what time I felt like doing it. And then today, kind of the same sort of thing happened. So we're here with you late night. And I know many of you are probably going to be listening to the show later on, but we do have some live listeners right now. And we generally have quite a few live listeners that come on and hang out late night with us when we do some moon batting. And, you know, I should probably explain where that meme comes from, because oftentimes that meme is used, the moon bat is used to refer to, you know, left wingers or liberals and stuff like that. I don't want anybody to get the impression that this is a left wing broadcast any more than I want you to get the impression it's a right wing broadcast. I don't subscribe to any of those phony paradigms, never have. The closest I ever came is, I guess, when I, 2006 or whatever it was, when I first got sort of swept up into the Ron Paul thing, but I never voted. I've registered to vote. I've known since I was 17 years old that both sides of the political spectrum were controlled by the same coin. I just didn't have a lot of evidence to back it up then. I knew it, but nobody really wanted to listen to me. I mean, who would listen to an 18, 19 year old and, you know, the earlier to mid 90s, you know, talking about how both sides are the same coin. But what we use it here as a meme, Moonbat, as a meme for, well, it started out as a meme for the people who inhabit the chat room late at night. And there's a whole host of us, myself included, who are late night moon batters. And so a couple of years ago, we started doing this thing on Justin TV. Justin TV used to allow you to stream movies from your hard drive. It was great. And we started doing this thing called Moonbat Theater. And we'd have a bunch of people hanging out, watching documentaries or watching, you know, Hollywood movies or whatever. And, you know, chatting and talking. When they stopped that, you can't stream them anymore, which sucks. So when I started deciding to do some shows in the late night hours or early morning hours, we started referring to it as that. So we don't consider ourselves moonbats in the same way. We're kind of hijacking the meme, so to speak, and we're sort of turning it into something where, you know, it would be used as a derogatory comment towards one subsection of the population. We're self-applying the name to it because it's goofy and you have to be able to make fun of yourself a little bit. And then our band that we have, the Demigods, when we first formed, we were kind of hanging out, getting used to playing together, and we were trying to come up with some new material, and we were drinking a whole bunch of tequila. And me and Delphi started jamming this song. It sounded like Fats Domino, and I was like playing the drums and I was singing, "Come on, baby, let's do the twist," and shit like that, you know. And and then we just started like throwing out lyrics, Black Pope, White President, do you even know the difference, and stuff like that. And we all started throwing out lyrics, and the next thing you know, we came up with this song. called Moonbat Twist, and it's got this lyric in there where it says you won't play this song on the radio, and coincidentally enough, the local NPR station here, which, by the way, NPR, the big scandal going on with NPR, they're creating this phony scandal for the media here so that because these guys have been, these NPR guys have been making money off the government dole for years, but the fact of the matter is they need a way to cut funding to this without making it look bad for Barry, so they're cooking up this little, you know, this conspiracy with this tape and all this stuff to do this so that they can justify to people, you know, taking away broadcasting that in many places, you know, such as this local network. I mean, it's the local NPR radio station here, but they reach millions of people. And probably, I mean, nobody else has been willing to play our music, and they played our music the 2 days after we took it to them. They were like, of course we'll play this. And they picked that song, amazingly enough. You know, I mean, there's a line in there that says Kissinger's a big new, we're going to bring you down. And I was thinking, you know, isn't that amazing? I don't think probably anybody else has ever gotten the words Kissinger's a big new, we're going to bring you down out over the FM airwaves. In music, and certainly not out over an NPR station, which is, you know, predominantly funded by the Ford Foundation and the Carnegie Endowment for the Arts and the rest of these globalist institutions. And it was just such a sweet, sweet victory. My dad actually started crying when he heard it. My dad was actually listening live to the station and heard it. My dad started crying because it's a big deal for him to have his kids to have some music on in Dallas because he knows how tough that is. And it is indeed tough here, but it's just one of the of everything that I've achieved with my films and my radio show and the music and everything else. Somehow the thing that always sticks with me is that getting that line out, Kissinger's a big new, we're going to bring you down. And that in just showing you how, you know, completely how uneducated these people are that they just didn't listen close enough. Even the people that were willing to play our music still didn't listen to it close enough to catch that line, because that had no business going out over air. That it really didn't, you know, but it happened multiple times. They played it multiple times. They haven't played it recently, but they have played it multiple times. So that's pretty awesome. But nonetheless, I want to clarify on the whole Moonbat meme, since we are here with you tonight for this late night Moonbat edition of the show. We're glad you could join us. Hope you're brewing plenty of coffee and whatever other medicinal substances you may need to keep you up tonight. And we will be getting into a whole bunch of news, a whole bunch of information, various topics of discussion here with you tonight. Love to have emails from you as usual, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. You can send in any of your questions, comments, thoughts, anything else. There was one last night, and I apologize. Let me find it. I got one last night, and it was right when the show was over, and I didn't get a chance to address it. Actually, there was two. I'm sorry, I apologize. Two here. Let me go back through. Here we go. Here's one. I meant to cover this last night, so I apologize to the listener who sent this in. It says, what's up, Josh? I don't know if you talked about this yet, but the two China sons. I did not talk about that, but I did see that. And it's highly, highly interesting, isn't it? I'm sure that the people who believe in Nibiru and stuff, which I get lumped into all the time because I talk about the Anunnaki and stuff like that. I'm really actually not one of those people that believes in the whole Nibiru thing. Because my research doesn't take me there. My research takes me to Vulcan. Those of you who, yeah. Oh, well, that's real good there, Josh. You take your mind straight to Star Trek. No, I mean, for people who don't know. No, actually not. They're actually, if you look at them, do some research on it, there's actually supposedly another planet that is on the other side of Venus, on the other side of the sun that we can't see, that's obscured by the sun. That actually causes things like what we're experiencing right now, which is volcanoes, earthquakes. We've had so many earthquakes. We've got more of these geological activity things going on. We'll talk about those tonight in some of the news articles we have. So this thing Vulcan, you know, it actually causes some of these same effects that have been described by Nibiru, or, you know, earth shattering events and stuff like that. But because it doesn't exactly fit into the 2012 timeline, in fact, it comes well after 2012 and most of the things that you see and read, that the research community as a whole pretty much won't touch it because it shatters the myth and the illusion of these catastrophic changes being created by Nibiru. And that's the whole thing is that the Nibiru thing has always been a red herring, at least for me in my research. Again, you know, if it's not for you and yours, then you know, nothing is set in stone saying you have to 100% agree with me. I just want to make that clear. I'm just giving it to you straight as I see it. So you take of that what you will. Look into what I'm telling you and hopefully, you know, either come up with your own belief on it or look elsewhere. I'm just telling you, for me, I think this thing's been a red herring. But this video in question here, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. What's interesting about it is that it does depict two suns. Now, I don't know how to independently verify if this is a real video or this has been. Technology's so good now. And because we don't have the benefit yet of anybody who who speaks Chinese, who could verify this news report, and because there are, from what I found at least, there are no other reports of this anywhere else in the world, which I would have thought something like this there would have been, because clearly in this picture, if it is indeed real, and you know, I don't know that it is, and I don't know that it isn't. But in this picture, it does depict two suns, and it shows these. It shows these videos, and of this Chinese news report, and it shows this lady talking. We can't understand what she's saying, but allegedly they're giving this report of it appeared that two suns were visible from China. Now, again, my thing would have been, I thought we would have heard this somewhere else in the world besides just this one news report. I'm suspect of that. I'm suspect because there has been a lot of fakery involving this seeing two sun thing over the past several years. There's been lots of pictures and videos and stuff that have come out that have turned out to be fakes. The other thing that makes me suspicious about this is the fact that personally, when I watched it, it looked to me as if the only time you ever really saw it was visible on the TV screen, the monitor, the woman is standing, the Chinese newscaster is standing in front of. And to me, it looked like it was superimposed on there, on the screen, which is possible now. You know, you can actually cut in video snips into other objects inside of a video. That's, you know, they have the technology for that now. It's not that far-fetched. You can do it with a Mac and stuff at home. In fact, you know, I mean, if I had a Macintosh, or if I could afford one, I could be cranking out these goddamn films a lot faster. Oh, are you kidding? I've had like a Mac Pro or something, one of those beasts that costs like $3,000 or $5,000. Shit. I crank out shit left and right. But, I mean, even with something like that, it's very easily, accessible and, affordable for a lot of people. You can get that kind of stuff where you can do stuff, you know, effects and stuff like that at home. It's not, you know, Chroma King and stuff like that. It's a very readily available type of technology. But somebody like myself who, you know, eats, sleeps, and lives and breathes audio and video, you know, I could pick that out, but, you know, your average person, maybe not. I'm just saying the person who asked me about this asked me my opinion, so I'm giving you my opinion. There it is. You know, believe what you want. I would say I'm skeptical because, yeah, it's a very real possibility, Mud. Yeah, very real possibility. It's very, very real possibility, actually. Oh, man. I met that guy one time in back in 2007. I showed my film 9/11 New World Rising down there in Austin. That guy Mud Puppy's talking about there. all that dude could do was talk about Troy from West Virginia the whole time. It was sad. Like he wanted to fuck him. It was sick. And then he told me this in confidence. He told me, so don't tell anybody, but you know that Vin, it's still up on YouTube. You know that video where like Troy's like having gay phone sex with that guy. And I'm like, yeah, he's like, oh, that's me. So yeah, that guy you're talking about in the van by the river. Yeah. He admitted that that was him on the gay phone sex to Troy. There you go. In the words of Charlie Sheen, boom, print that. it's already getting out of control tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you've got, email questions, stuff you want me to hear me talk about tonight, be happy to have you send them over there. Global Reality Show at gmail.com. There you go. Send them over there and love to address some of your questions. Let's get into some of this news tonight. As I mentioned last night on the broadcast, or yesterday on the broadcast, and I've been talking about this, mentioning this type of thing several times over the past few weeks, but I want to stress this. I want to make it crystal clear that, because, you know, there are some things that when I come across them in the news, and there is some material I come across that I consider important to cover on the show that, you know, sometimes can be borderline, you know, it's tough, man, because some of this stuff is just borderline, well, not borderline fear-mongering, but what I'm saying is that there's such a fine line between stressing the importance of something, especially in this type of medium where, you kind of have to get a certain emphasis and a certain tonality to your voice to emphasize things that you feel are very important for people. And oftentimes, when you express that emotion in your voice, when you're trying to relate a piece of information, if you're not careful and you don't have some sort of emotional, lowjack, or, you know, some emotional, thing to sort of hold you back a little bit sometimes, and then your concern and you voicing your concern about an issue can sometimes turn into panic and fear. And if you relate that sort of panic and fear about a specific topic to an audience, then it is going to reflect itself in your audience in panic and fear. And this is what a lot of people like Alex Jones and others, not just him, but others, this is what they do. And that's why it's bad that they intentionally do this. So for me, I'm coming at it from the standpoint of, you know, there's some stories that I get up here and I look at them and I'm like, you know, God, I want to make sure that people know how important this is, and at least try to gain some understanding on the, you know, on the context of it and why they should be concerned with it. But at the same time, you know, I don't want to get up here and scream, red alert, folks, red alert, red alert, stage 5, red alert. Get Steve Quayle on the horn, tell him to put the red alert back up. I mean, I don't want to ever get up here and do that. So, you know, if I tell you sometimes, hey, and I will do this, I've done this before, I'll say, hey, you know, pay attention to this. You know, I've told you from moment one that I'm not one of those guys that shits myself every time they have a drill. You know, I mean, they have drills all the time, but it's become this thing with the fear-mongering truth movement that in order to, you know, every time that there's a drill, that means there's a 98.9% chance there's going to be a false flag terror attack. And they get up there and they love to say it. They just, they just jizz in their fucking pants to say false flag terror attack, don't they? I mean, they just can't even stand it. They're like a prepubescent teen. They're like, you just touch them and they're like, and they just nut them themselves just to say false flag terror attack over and over, over and over and over and over again. They love it. And so, you know, from listening to my show that I'm not one of those people that, you know, every time there's a drill, I shit myself and tell you need to be worried. But just a few months ago, when we found out about National Level Exercise 2011 happening, coming up in May, after I'd been discussing the possibility of this new earthquake happening along the New Madrid fault line, and then a series of synchronistic things started to fall in my lap around the time we started to have the situation with the dead birds and things like that. And I told you, hey, you know, this is something of concern. I think this National Level Exercise 2011 is of concern because of the implications that it has with all of these different events that have been happening. So, you know, as I mentioned last night on the show, it'd be very easy for anybody to get up on this show or me to get up on this show and right now and fearmonger to you all the reasons why I think World War III is about to break out. I'd probably be justified in doing so. Again, I'm not going to sit here and necessarily say that that if there are people out there doing that, that's necessarily wrong. But I don't think it's going to get us anywhere. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to get us any closer to a solution. I don't think it's going to bring about an end to this stuff. I don't think any of you listening to the sound of my voice right now really, really need me to tell you how crazy things are and how they're exponentiating and how they're growing, how they're becoming more menacing, and how every day we move closer to this. You don't need me to tell you that. That's not what you're here for. Each and every one of you out there has the ability to be able to figure that out on your own without me. But because I tend to offer a perspective on this stuff that's valuable to some people, just because it allows them to, with their own perspective, gain a much greater understanding once they combine my perspective with their own. And then they go, oh, well, you said this, and then I found this, and then boom, look at this. And then they're like, oh, shit. You know, that's what's going on. Well, that's okay. Well, that's the purpose I serve. But there's just, I'm looking at these stories and I'm seeing things like earthquake in Japan. Right on the heels after we had this big thing in New Zealand. Now we've got all this seismic activity going on in Hawaii. You've got a giant volcano there that's erupting, a brand new volcano that's erupting. Let me see if I can find the stories I had on this tonight. And then in combination with that, you have other earthquakes going on in other areas, that some of which have to do with earth changes or things that are happening in the solar system. And then some that have to do with things like this natural gas fracking and these fracking wells and things that they're creating. I mean, they're really creating a cognitive dissonance to where, you know, it's just right for people to blame everything on HAARP or anything else, because they're creating such a confusion, you know, the same way they confuse people with black op technologies and saucer-shaped craft and strange lights and things that may not be craft at all, but like animal-type things, like these sky serpents. But yet they call all of those things UFOs. And then when your average person hears the word UFO, the automatically thing they think is little green men or little grays or something. And that really isn't all that encompasses a UFO. You know, it's really unfair to do that. And I think the same thing that they're doing here now is, you know, it's very easy to see some of these changes happening. And if you think like I do, that the elite are quite well aware of these different changes, cyclical changes that happen on the earth due to the sun, you would have to think it would be in their best interest to want to propagate these ideas that, you know, every earthquake and everything that happens all around the world is always HAARP now. And that's what I see happening. I think that's very dangerous. I've addressed it here before. I think I see a lot of truthers and a lot of researchers do that all the time. And I just think that we can't just say, you know, it's HAARP every single time just because now we have that piece of information. But it seems like that's what people do. So let's talk about some of these changes that are going on. Until now, it was thought that once a volcano's magma chamber had cooled down, it remained dormant for centuries before it had remobilized by fresh magma. A theoretical model developed by Alan Bergesier of the Orleans Institute of Earth Sciences, together with a U.S. researcher, was tested over two major eruptions and completely overturned this hypothesis. The reawakening of a chamber could take place in just a few months. The research should lead to a reassessment of some of the dangerousness of dormant volcanoes. So they're saying now, what that just basically just said is that it thought that they before now, science always held the belief that once a volcano, the magma chamber cooled down, that it was, you know, it would take centuries and centuries before it would be active again. And this article that I'm reading here from the Science Daily is claiming that now they say, oh, no, we're overturning that hypothesis. Now we're saying volcanoes that should be dormant for centuries now can just reawaken in the span of 2 months. excuse me. I'll put a link to this in the chat room. Excuse me. Does anybody else but me think it's a little suspect that now, all of a sudden, that we have things like, you know, what's going on in Yellowstone and Hawaii and all these other volcanoes, the Iceland volcano that we had? All of a sudden, they won't be dormant for centuries. Now they can be dormant and wake up in just a few months. Right as we're having all of these various catastrophic changes on the Earth. Now, listen to this, and I've already seen people trying to poo-poo this, and it makes me wonder what's going to be happening over the next week. Could supermoon next week disrupt Earth's weather? Moon comes at its closest approach for 19 years. It promises a unique photo opportunity for amateur astronomers. Earth will next week be at its closest point to the moon since 1992. The March 19th event, known as a lunar perigee, will see the moon pass just 221,567 miles away from our planet. But the internet is awash with conspiracy-minded amateur scientists warning that such a supermoon could disrupt Earth's climate patterns and may even cause earthquakes and volcanic activity. Well, let me tell you something, Hotshot. Maybe you haven't been listening, or maybe you haven't been paying attention, but we have been seeing earthquakes and volcanic activity. Again, before I even got to this article, here we go. I have several stories here. Volcanic activity, earthquakes. So I would say it's kind of far-fetched to call that a conspiracy if there's current news articles out today about those very things happening. So the question that begs to be answered here is why are they seeking to downplay this? Because this is the second time I've seen this. I saw some new age type of person earlier post something somewhere on some site about, it was basically like a proclamation of, maybe not like a Facebook post or something, but it was basically like a proclamation of, hey guys, don't worry. I talked to such and such, so-and-so Swami, Chandler, you know, Hindu goddess, Moonchild, Barbital, you know, blah, blah, blah. Moonchild, Barbital. That sounds like a good drug. And she said, don't worry, there's not going to be anything happening with the moon next week, and it's certainly not going to disrupt anything on Earth. And I went, wow. Well, thank you for answering. You know, I always have said for years that you can always tell if somebody is what you think they are when they start giving you answers to questions that you never asked. You know, like when you see these news articles that say shit like, you know, no, George W. Bush does not eat his own feces. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, I believe some fucked up stuff about Bush. We have a lot of evidence, but, you know, I don't think any one of us ever accused him of eating his own shit. You know, why is the mainstream media telling us that Bush eats his own shit when we didn't ask whether he did that or not? You know, obviously somebody's got something to hide here. Must be true. So I think that that's something what I'm seeing with this, is that there's been, you know, some massive attempt to go ahead and try and downplay what's happening here with this moon thing. It says the previous supermoon took place in 1955, 1974, 1992, and 2005. All years it had extreme weather events. The tsunami that killed hundreds of thousands of people in Indonesia happened 2 weeks before the January 2005 supermoon, and on Christmas Day, 1974, Cyclone Tracy laid waste to Darwin, Australia. But Peter Wheeler of the International Center for Radio Astronomy said to treat any warnings of an impending apocalypse with skepticism. See, it's like, it's always, you just always have to... It's just always the opposite of what they tell you, isn't it, folks? You know, like Y2K, oh, you got to be scared. The end of the world's going to end because of this computer glitch. And, you know, it's like whatever they tell you to be scared about, you should have nothing to fear about. And then the stuff that they try to go out of their way to comfort you about, you need to immediately pack your shit up and worry about. Oh, no, don't worry. No, people who say that we're going to, you know, the Earth's going to be die from a solar storm, they're crazy. No. That's when you need to pack your shit. But then they start saying, oh, you know what? We're all dead. We're all going to die. That's it. Blah, blah, blah. Well, they're trying to instigate that reaction as well. And let's just, you know, let's say this guy's right. Maybe he's right. But he says, I don't think so. When was this article published? Today. So, well, same time as these other articles about the volcanoes and the earthquakes, right? These were all published today. Listen to this. This is genius right here. Quote, this is Pete Wheeler from the International Center for Radio Astronomy. Quote, old Petey boy, there will be no new earthquakes or volcanoes erupting unless they are to happen anyway. What the fuck kind of shit is that? So any earthquakes or volcanoes that erupt between now And when the supermoon event is going to happen next week, or we're going to happen anyway, so there's no reason to say they're connected to the supermoon thing. What kind of shit is that? Well, they were going to happen anyway. Well, how do you know, Bubba? And not only that, I think you missed your mark. We had volcanoes and earthquakes happening today, so this was probably written yesterday. They printed it today, or who knows when. So it looks like you missed your mark there, Bubba. Credibility? Yes, credibility fail for sure. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Seems that Mars is back in the news yet again, and we all know why that is, or the listeners of my audience do. If you don't, you can go back and listen to my older shows. Or just do this. Go to a search engine and type Mars terraformed or terraforming Mars. They terraformed Mars a long time ago. That's where the elite are going to set up shop. Allegedly, they have some kind of teleportation device where they can teleport from the surface to the Earth to Mars and back and forth. I don't know if that's true, but that's word around the campfire. Yeah, a lot of the pictures and stuff we've seen from these Mars rovers have been faked. They've been staged. And we've seen both George Bush Sr. and W. push the importance of Mars. It always comes up high on government agendas, and you can't seem to wonder why. Well, they've terraformed Mars, and now the United States wants to get there and colonize the fucker before anybody else does. And Venus is coming next. They have the technology to do it. Now, you can go find tons and tons. You can type terraforming into Wikipedia, and you'll find all kinds of information about it. The pictures that they show of the red surface have been colorized. The Mars is not red at all. It has an atmosphere. It's blue. In fact, I've seen the pictures, the undoctored pictures. I've seen them in videos and stuff where Mars actually has an atmosphere. So that's what the importance of it is. They want to get there and colonize it before anybody else does. NASA, this is from the AFP, Mars should be U.S. Space Agency's agency focus panel. NASA should focus its efforts on a solar-powered rover mission to Mars rather than human spaceflight in the coming decade, but only if costs can be slashed, a science panel said on Monday. The recommendation was a part of a report by the National Research Council urging a series of planetary missions that could provide a steady stream of important new discoveries about the solar system from 2013 to 2022. The report comes as NASA faces scrutiny from lawmakers over its proposed 2012 budget and pressure from the public to find a new way to transport astronauts into space once the three-decade-old space shuttle program ends this year. And then this next article, that's part of that one. And the next article here from the Daily Mail, same type of thing. Scientists are creating their wish list of which planets they want to explore over the next decade. Topping NASA's to-do list should be robotic missions to Mars and Jupiter's icy moon, Europa. Europa. And of course, Titan, that's they want to get to Titan as well. Titan is just full of oil and natural gas, and they've already passed all the treaties, worldwide treaties and laws, saying that any of these resources that they bring back from Titan or any place out in space, they can go out there and mine for resources and bring them back to Earth. They've already passed the laws, ladies and gentlemen, that state that they don't have to pay any taxes on any of these resources they may import from other planets or moons or wherever else out in space. I mean, that's a pretty damn good foresight, isn't it? We're going to go ahead and make the laws before we, admit to the public that we even have this technology. I mean, we know they do. They've got ion drives and warp drives. They've been working on that stuff. NASA for several years, they had people dying of cancer on some of the levels. We reported that here on the show several years ago. Dying on some of the levels, scientists getting cancer, dying quick deaths because they're being exposed to high levels of different radioactive material because they're building these fucking warp drives because they're trying to get off this rock. For the decade to 2013 to 2022, five separate panels of scientists and experts agreed on a suite of missions that would get the greatest scientific return for the money spent. Recognizing that even these projects could be budget busters, we have a long history in the planetary exploration program of generating cost numbers that are too optimistic. And it's just amazing. It seems everybody's like backing off of it all of a sudden. It's like we want to say we want to push to go elsewhere, and and then they back off of it. It's pretty interesting to watch what they're doing. Anyway, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. If you've got questions tonight, if you've got anything you'd like to have me discuss or talk about, love to hear from you. globalrealityshow@gmail.com. I'll be happy to get into any topic or your question or anything else. And I'll go back through my stack here in just a bit. And I think I might have missed one or two, and I'll see what I missed. And we'll get into that as well. This is the Global Reality Late Night Moonbat Edition for you here, folks, on the Global Reality Show Radio Network with me, your host, Josh Reeves. Stay with us. right back here with you on the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thank you for being staying up late with us tonight as we continue to get Moon Batty here into the late night hours and early morning hours. So thanks for staying up with us. And we're going to get into some more news, more topics, discussion, anything you'd like to discuss tonight. I'd love to hear from you. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if something you'd like me to hear me talk about, that's where you can send it at. I'm just kind of laughing. Somebody sent me something funny a minute ago. I wonder if I should announce it, if I should mention it or not. Then if I mention it, then we actually did it, then it wouldn't be, I don't know. I don't know if we'll actually do that or not, though. I don't know if I can keep it up that long. Somebody requested that next time I go on with Lee, which I think should be very soon. I got to need to get in contact with Lee. Next time I go on with Lee on Lee Rogers' program, Live Free Die Radio, for 3 hours, somebody requested that that we do a 20 minutes with the enchilada eater segment, and have Lee be the straight man and ask questions as if he's interviewing Alex Jones, and have me like, folks, I'm just so glad to be here on Lee Rogers' show. I can't tell you what, folks, I'm finally going to come out of the closet and let everybody know I'm seeing PJBS controlled Nazi. And that's just all there is to it, folks. Side issue, though. Side issue.
You know, it's a great idea, but I don't know. Number one, I think you'd have to talk Lee into it first off, and then second off, I don't know if I can keep it up. I don't know. I don't know if I can keep it up for that long. But you know, hey.
That's not an issue, folks.
You maybe see if he can talk Lee into it or not. You know, I don't know. If Lee Rogers said, yeah, let's do it. Okay.
I don't know if, Lee can do Charlie's voice quite like I can, but, I'm telling you, it's hot. I've got tiger blood and, let's do some coke, Jonesy.
Yeah, I tell you what, Charlie, you're a real patron. I'd love doing coke with you at your house. It's great. It's good stuff. Charlie gets only the best stuff, folks. Side issue, though.
That'd be greatness. Anyway, but so you never know. Stranger things have happened. You may get your wish. I don't know. Put it out there to the universe. Put it under, write it down on a piece of paper. Put it under your pillow tonight when you go to sleep. Make a little wish, and maybe you'll get your wish. I don't know. I can't make any promises, though. Oh man, people are now requesting comedy bits. That's classic.
Winning, that's right. That's all I do is win. These other trolls and everybody else out here, bunch of losers. All about winning. It's what I do.
Anyway, but we're going to get back into some more news tonight. What keeps us commercial free and uncensored here is you, the listeners, and that also keeps our films coming out and all the information coming forward. So use the Chipping Banner if you'd like to support us this month for us paying the bills, and use the donate button there if you want to donate towards larger amounts towards us getting better computers to make films and better cameras and stuff like that. That's where you do that at. And please support us, folks. We need all support we can get right now. And things are starting to happen, though, and it's really good, and it feels really good, and so can't wait to see what we're going to accomplish this year in 2011, but right now we're going to get back into some more news for you here tonight. Let's get into some of the fear-mongering. I'm not going to fear-monger you, but I'll read some of the news that is attempting to do just that. But at least we can point it out. It's just everywhere. Billionaire Carl Icahn returns $1.76 billion to investors. Listen to this. On the eve of the bull market second anniversary, billionaire investor Carl Icahn had an unsettling message for his investors. Take your money back. He told investors in his hedge funds that he did not want to be responsible for another possible market crisis, especially given the rapid increases over the past 2 years. Stocks have nearly doubled since hitting 12-year lows on March 9, 2009. Icahn, who has built a fortune from taking stakes in well-known companies and then pressing for changes, also said he was concerned about the economic growth and political tension. So he's, you know, here this guy is, you know what, take your money back. He's giving back $1.76 billion to his investors. Oh, you know, I don't want to be responsible if another one of these things happens. So, you know, that should be a pretty good sign that any speculation you might have on what else is going to happen with the economy is probably correct. But at the same time, generally these guys don't tell us that. You know what I mean? So you have to be suspicious of this. Anything, you know, public, oh, he's giving $1.76 billion of investors. Well, they're trying to affect the markets by even telling you that. You understand? It's a big scam. I'm not even going to waste my time on it. This is interesting. Hundreds of thousands of dead fish were found floating around the water surface in Redondo Beach, California on Tuesday, sparking widespread concerns about pollution. It was unclear what killed the creatures, thought to be anchovies, but authorities speculated the mass quantity of teeming life may have simply absorbed all the oxygen in the waters around King Harbor. Some massive fish die-offs on top of everything else. Scientists warn of dangerous over-reliance on GPS. Well, you know, and anybody in their right mind can figure that out. But it makes me wonder, do they know something is going to happen? I mean, do they know that there's going to be, you know, EMPs or, you know, these different solar storms knocking out satellite communications? It makes you wonder. But it is true. I mean, people have forgotten, really, how to get somewhere on their own. You know, without using a computer to get them there. Developed nations have become dangerously over-reliant on satellite technology navigation systems such as GPS, which could break down or be attacked with devastating results, British engineers said on Tuesday. The Royal Academy of Engineering said the application of the technology was now so broad that from car sat-navs to timestamps on financial transactions, that without adequate backup, any disruptions could have a major impact. Well, again, you know, thank you so much for telling us and giving us answers to questions we didn't ask. You always tell when they offer this kind of information up that there's, you know, there's got to be something to qualify this, you know. Prepping us for something or something they know is going to happen or may happen. It cited a recent European Commission study showing that about 6-7% of economic growth in Western countries, about 1,100 billion, is already dependent on such navigation. That's a big number. Society may have already be dangerously over-reliant on satellite radio navigation systems like GPS. Disruption could come from technological problems or from deliberate interference, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well then, but what are the consequences? What could happen? They don't tell you. Scientists warn of dangerous over-reliance on GPS. It just says a significant failure of GPS could cause lots of services to fall at the same time, many that are thought to be completely independent of each other. That's all it says. So they're telling us that we shouldn't be so reliant or becoming dangerously over-reliant on GPS, but nowhere in this article do they define why that's dangerous. That's suspect, isn't it? That's very shady. Because that's proof right there that they're withholding information. This article gives you no information whatsoever on why you went over. Now, I understand our over-reliance on these things should be self-evident. The reason why our over-reliance on these things is bad should be self-evident, but it isn't to every person. But at the same time, you know, if you were somebody who was going to read this article, okay, well, whoa, my God, well, what are the concerns? It doesn't tell you. Okay, they could get disrupted. Okay, we know that. It just sounds like it's prep for something. I suspect it has to do with these, with the radio, the sun radiating the earth and solar radiation, the earth losing its magnetic field, those kind of things. This is a huge story. And this one, I think, started coming out last week in the middle of all this Charlie Sheen craziness going on. It's another one of those stories. And there were several last week that came out that I felt were, you know, huge stories, but sort of getting swept under the rug. I mean, right in the middle of all this Charlie Sheen stuff going out, I didn't really find out about this until recently. But this was happening last week. ATF let hundreds of U.S. weapons fall into the hands of suspected Mexican gunrunners. The FBI got caught red-handed, folks, giving big, huge amounts of military weaponry to the Mexican drug runners. This happened last week. This story came out, a huge scandal, right in the middle of the Charlie Sheen going out and without nary a mention. And I know it may sound like I'm reaching, but, you know, I just can't help but think of that last name of Charlie Sheen, Estevez. And the whole Catholic connection, you know, I mean, it's just that kind of stuff. It's just not a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. Hoping to score a major prosecution of Mexican drug lords, federal prosecutors and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives permitted hundreds of guns to be purchased and retained by suspected straw buyers with the expectation they might cross the border and even be used in crimes while the case was being built, according to documents and interviews. The decision, part of a Phoenix-based operation codenamed Fast and Furious, was met by strong objections with some frontline agents who fear that they were allowing weapons like AK-47s to walk into the hands of drug lords and gun runners, internal agencies' memos show. Oh, my God, that's what they were doing. That's unbelievable. This whole thing was a front to get the weapons to the Mexican drug lords. My God. Internal agency memos show, indeed, scores of the weapons came back quickly traced to criminal activity. One of those frontline agents who objected told the Center for Public Integrity that these guns are going to be turning up in crimes on both sides of the borders for decades. And then here's another one, CBS News. Agent says, I was ordered to let U.S. guns into Mexico. Federal agent John Dotson says that what he was asked to do was beyond belief. He was intentionally letting guns go to Mexico. Yes, ma'am, he told CBS News the agency was. An alcohol, tobacco, and firearms senior agent assigned to Phoenix office in 2010. Dotson's job was to stop gun trafficking across the border. Instead, he says he was ordered to sit by and watch it happen. So they were openly admitting to now giving guns to these Mexican drug cartels. And that, again, further proves what we knew all along. The whole reason why they're doing this is they're letting these guys kill each other. And whoever is the winner down there gets gets to have the contract to provide all of the drugs to the United States for their drug activities. That's what it is. They're just trying to figure out who the winner is going to be. And they're funding it all the way to the bank. It's unbelievable stuff. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Oh, this is great. A priest from Ohio was arrested on Sunday for DUI after he wrecked his car. It's pretty much your standard man of faith gone wrong story until what happens next. Listen to this. You're going to shit yourself. Once in jail, Father Ignatius Curry started misbehaving. And that's where nakedness and Oprah comes into the mix. According to the police and the video, Curry started to complain about the rash that handcuffs were giving him. Then he started asking for his freedom. He asked the cops if blowjobs were what they wanted and apparently started exposing himself. Perhaps the critical moment in the sad video comes when the father says, Oprah Winfrey is going to have her fat ass down here and you're going to have your ass up the wall. so the Jesuit priest starts running around saying, hey, cop, you like blowjobs? Oprah's going to run your ass up the wall, motherfucker. Well, that's good quality right there. That is the kind of pedophilia that we need in this country. It's like you have to be a homosexual to be in it. That's why I question Jones. You ever seen that picture that Mark, his buddy, Mark Dice, who used to go by John Connor? When he first started his radio show, when he was still going by John Connor, it was called Resistance Radio, and he had a show on GCN. And the first night he had the show, he put this picture up, and it was a picture of, it was on his bulletin for his show, and it was a picture of what appears to be Alex Jones in drag. And when he was questioned about it, he took it down immediately, but it's resurfaced. It's out there. And, of course, there was that flare-up in the media between Mark Dice and Danny Bonaducci a few years ago. And come to find out, Danny Bonaducci's wife works for this cardinal, very famous cardinal to the stars, that the Sheen family and Mark Dice and Danny Bonaducci and Alex Jones and all the stars out there go and consult with. They really are a bunch of white supremacist homosexuals. That's really what these fucking guys are. You might laugh at it, man, but they're a bunch of white supremacist homosexuals. They really are. And they hate you and I and all of us and want to kill us all because we like pussy. That's why. End of story. I mean, it's not really quite as simple as that, but, you know, you wouldn't be far off if that's what you believed. But really, I mean, it's absolutely out of control. By the way, Phil Collins retiring from music. You guys hear about that? 60-year-old musician reportedly plans to end his music career due to hearing problems, a dislocated vertebra, and nerve damage in his hands, all caused by lifetime spent hunched over a drum set. Yeah, I tell you, man, being a drummer myself, it's very strenuous on the body because you're basically flailing your arms against immovable objects at 100 miles an hour, with force. And it's strenuous. I can imagine being doing that for 40 years, but, So Easy Lover is going to, take the easy route and, bow out of playing music, but hey, why not? You know, he's old and sucks now anyway, right? Let's see. Huh? What else we got? China now on pace to have the biggest military in the world. Well, they got more women in the Chinese army than we got people in the United States already. That was several years ago numbers. Lord knows what they've got now. Not a lot of news tonight. There's really not a lot. Here's one that's pretty interesting. From the Ottawa Citizen, Canada and U.S. agree to use each other's troops in civil emergencies. I think we've known about this for a while. Sometimes they recycle these stories. You guys ever notice that? It seems like they recycle stories sometimes. And then a lot of people, including myself included, you know, we'll jump on this stuff. We'll gather it when we're doing our news gathering. We'll find it. We'll come across it. We'll talk about it. But it does seem that you have to think for a moment, they're probably trying to initiate a response out of us. They're trying to get us to react to a certain way. Cause I mean, we've known that they're forever for years and years and years. In fact, just a few years ago, I remember the USR, I think it was the Army Times. The Army Times, official Army newspaper, came out and talked openly about how we had British troops. This was just prior to the financial collapse. There were British troops in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, that were training on the city grid structures of American cities and learning how to lay bridges across waterways. And, you know, I mean, even myself, you know, you look at a story like that and you can't help but think, my God, you know, that can't be going on for any other reason except for when the bankers call in their loans, you know? But it does seem they try to recycle this stuff sometimes. I don't know, but this is another recent update. Canada and the U.S. have signed an agreement that paves the way for the militaries from each other nation to send troops across each other's borders during an emergency, but some are questioning why the Harper government has been kept silent on the deal. It's Stephen Harper, of course, Council for National Policy. You know, it's like, well, what power does the CMP have? Well, they're powerful enough to have a Canadian vice president in their Canadian prime minister in their midst, who's also a high-level Freemason. Canada and the U.S. have signed an agreement that paves the way for the militaries from each other nation to send troops across each other's border. Neither the Canadian government nor the Canadian forces announced this new agreement, which was signed on February 14th in Texas. The U.S. Military Northern Command, however, publicized the agreement with a statement outlining how its top officer, General Jean Renard, and Canadian Lieutenant Jean-Marc Dumais, head of the Canadian Command, signed a plan which allows the military from one nation to support the armed forces of another during a civil emergency. The new agreement has been greeted with suspicion by the left wing in Canada and now the right wing in the U.S. The left leading council of Canadians, which is complaining against what it calls the increasingly integration of the U.S. and Canadian militaries, is raising concern about the deal. Well, that's the whole thing is they're, you know, as they're getting closer and closer to openly admitting that what we've already known for years that we are, you know, everybody talks about the North American Union, but that's already been here for years. They just haven't openly announced it yet. But that'll be one of the first things that they do is have, you know, Canadian troops on our side, our troops on their side, because, you know, they've got to get people acclimated to the fact that it's, you know, that it's just one country now and one entity and one way of being. Anyway, love to hear from you tonight. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. It's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, got a topic, got anything you'd like to hear me discuss tonight, I'm not done doing a show tonight at all. I still want to keep going, but I'm sort of running out of stories to cover here, and I don't have very much news left. As I've been talking about, the news has just been very, very strange lately. It's been moving into these weird cycles. It's shifting and changing. But we've got a few more things to cover with you here tonight, but we'd love to hear from you as well. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Shoot me an email over there with a question, an idea, topic, whatever you want, and I'll do my best to cover that for you. And we'll take a break, come back, get into more stuff for you here tonight. Late Night Moonbat Edition, folks. We're staying up late. Thanks for staying up late with us. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Brad back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we're going to be talking about some more things here with you tonight. Love to hear from you. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. Thanks for staying up with us tonight. And I'd be happy to get into anything you'd like to discuss. You can also join the chat room. There's all kinds of late night Denzians in the chat room there tonight, talking it up, chatting it up, and having a good time. So you can join everybody in there tonight for the chat room. Tons of people in there tonight hanging out. So thanks to everybody in the chat room for staying up and being with us tonight. Lots of people in there. And I had a question. Somebody said this yesterday. It says, are you going to, Cigarette 2, are you going to have a movie premiere when it comes out, like a red carpet event at a theater, VIP cocktail reception for your donors, etc.? Sounds like a good idea. You might be able to recoup some expenses. Well, the only problem with that, I'd love to do that. Yeah. But the only problem is I got to have about $2,000 up front to do it. That's the only problem. Anywhere from $1,200 to $2,000. I've looked into it. And I did actually have one for 9/11 New World Rising when it came out. We had William Rodriguez flew him in. I'll never forget that. I was sitting there like, it made, you know, and now that I know about all this Catholic stuff, you know, and William Rodriguez was a Catholic as well. We were sitting there stamping DVDs in the morning before the event. And William had come in from the airport, and he came in while we were stamping DVDs. And while we're in the process of stamping DVDs, William Rodriguez's phone was ringing, and I'm sort of sitting there. He kind of stands up and he's like, "Oh, hello, Charlie." And he's like talking to Charlie Sheen, like while I'm sitting there, like stamping DVDs. It's like, that's a bit odd, you know? somebody wondered if I was going to have a premiere. I thought about it. I actually have been looking into it. Yeah. I mean, like I said, it costs, you know, anywhere from $1,200 to $2,000, because you got to pay for the venue up front and all that stuff up front. And you know, then if you don't make that much, back, you know, you're out that cash or whatever. But, I'm going to say it, like I say, everything else, if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And if it's not, it won't. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. But I can't say it absolutely will, just because I don't have the cash right now on me to do something like that. But, you know, you never know. If the universe decides that that's what needs to happen, then the universe will provide me with what it needs. It always does. So, yeah, that very well could happen. We all could... you never know. We might even have, I have looked into it. There's a theater here locally that I've looked into renting, and it's pretty sweet. It's an old, you know, those old single movie theater type places, but they, you know, is also maybe try to have some different speakers come out as well, and have some bands play, have our band play, and a couple other bands that I'm friends with play. And show the film and stuff like that, and kind of have an event. But I've been trying to plan an event for several years now. It just never has come together. I think that if I put it out there into the realm of consciousness, then, you know, maybe it'll happen. So I'll definitely keep you posted. And if we're able to do something like that and have an event, I'd love to. It's a lot of fun. You know, there's nothing better for me as a filmmaker than to, you know, play something that you spent hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years creating, and putting it on a big screen and getting to see people's reaction and see people's faces while they're watching it. I got to do that when 9/11 New World Rising came out, and it's just an amazing experience. It because, you know, when somebody's watching your stuff at home on their DVD player or watching it on YouTube, you know, you don't get that opportunity. You can't feel their energy, you know, and being in a room full of people as they're watching your movie on a screen, the energy and the, you know, feeling that back to you, it's an amazing thing, you know, it really is. So we may try to do that if it's possible. But thank you so much for asking there, one of our great listeners. So let's jump back into this. Now, let's see what else we have here tonight. We've talked about many times about, you know, prisoners now becoming indentured servants. Listen to this. This spring, the United Arab Emirates is expected to close a deal for $7 million worth of American arms. Nearly half of the cash will be spent on Patriot missiles, which cost as much as $5.9 million apiece. But what makes those eye-popping sums even more shocking is that some of the workers manufacturing parts for those Patriot missiles are prisoners earning as little as 23 cents an hour. The work is done by Unicor, previously known as Federal Prison Industries. It is a government-owned corporation established during the Depression that employs about 20,000 inmates in 70 prisons to make everything from clothing to office furniture to solar panels to military electronics. One of the company's high-tech specialities, Patriot Missile Parts, Unicor FBI supplies numerous electronic components for services for guided missiles, including the Patriot Advanced Capability PAC-3 missile. Patriot assemblers Raytheon and Lockheed Martin aren't the only defense contractors relying on prison help. As Roerlich notes, Unicor inmates also make cable assemblies for the McDonnell Douglas Boeing F-15, the General Dynamics Lockheed Martin F-16, Bell Textron's Cobra helicopter. Now, see, you know, if you have regular, you know, citizens, regular civilians making parts for military weaponry, and they screw up, or they start deciding they don't want to make these parts correctly, well, then what happens? They get fired, right? And then another, you know, lackey who will do the job gets put in their place. But, you know, if an inmate decides they don't want to start making, they don't want to make the parts right, what do? Well, they just shoot them in the head and throw them and go on to somebody else. See, because they're already enslaved, and they don't want to be, you know, in fear of being thrown in the hole or, you know, whatever, to having their conjugal visits taken away, they can probably get a lot better results out of these slave laborers making their military industrial complex equipment for them now, can't they? This is just sick stuff, man. But that's really what they want. They want there to be as much slave labor for their military hardware as there can, so that, you know, they have more of an excuse to do what they want. They're not going to be happy till everybody's enslaved or dead. Really no two ways around that one. Yemeni police opened fire on demonstrators attempting to expand a protest camp in the capital of Sana'a on Tuesday. So they're already, you know, they're continuing to ramp that up and continuing to initiate the genocide they want to commit in Yemen, to take over the ancient artifacts there that pertain to, you know, them continuing to try to cover up our destiny and trying to cover up what's being exposed to us. It's really much else I can say about it. Or any of this stuff. Ahmadinejad calls for a new world order for the 18th time. I love how people think Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is some kind of hero. Oh, he's anti-New World Order. Well, no, he's a puppet dictator. He's the same as Bush or any of these other clowns. He wouldn't be up there on television, and you wouldn't even know his name if he wasn't. Let's see how people can understand that. I've seen so many of these truthers. Oh, Hugo Chavez and Ahmadinejad are patriots. They're real people. They're on our side. No, they're not. They're puppets in the phony paradigm, man. People jump all over, just waiting to jump on some kind of new, person to follow. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says Iran and India need to help spread justice in the world as the duo shares humane perspective on international affairs. Where does it say that he called for a new world order? I don't see that. It says that Ahmadinejad underlined the role of Iran's and India's cultural background and said the issue of culture will significantly contribute to the new world order. So we'll significantly contribute to the new world order as it, you know, I thought you were against the Zionists and the dirty Westerners on a day job, but you're saying you hope that you can participate in, you know, adding Iran's culture to the new world order. Well, I think we know where you stand now, bucko, but you know, that's the attitude they want us to have. You know, they want us to be against these puppet dictators. They want us to know that Ahmadinejad and Bush and whoever else are puppets, so that we put all our anger on those people, on the puppets, the front figureheads they put out for us, And then our anger that we have for the figurehead, our anger we have for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Gaddafi, or the anger we have for Saddam Hussein, or the anger we have for George W. Bush is then translated and transferred over to justify the killing of the people. You know, your average American doesn't give two shits about, men and women and children being killed in Iraq or Afghanistan, because they believe that the enemy is Osama bin Laden or the evil Muslims or the people that flew the airplanes into the buildings and everything else. So they transfer all that energy over to the puppet, which then allows them to just completely acquiesce to the genocide, to the murder. And lo and behold, in case you hadn't noticed, that's what they're trying to do to us in the eyes of the rest of the world. So the justification of the killing of millions of Americans can be justified by the fact that, you know, Bush is a puppet or Obama is a communist or whatever else. You know, all the blame will be assigned to the figurehead, and that justifies to the people of the world why those people in that particular country should be wiped out. It's very slick, but that's exactly what they do. Oh, man. Well, it looks like I'm heading towards another 16-hour marathon filmmaking editing session tonight, as I always am. I'm going to get this movie done eventually. I've scrapped this fucking thing three or four times. I've started over completely three or four times. I've had crashes. I've lost work. I've had weird stuff happen with my main computer lately. Backdoor stuff happening where people are tunneling into my computer. It's out of control. They know I'm getting close, and they know that when this film comes out in the next month or so, that it's going to knock the fucking brick off the wall with the info it's going to be retained in it. And I can't wait for you to see it. And just please support our work. You just had a couple of people supporting us lately, and they've been pulling the weight for everybody else. So time for everybody else to do their weight too. So use the donate button there for films, for anything else you want to see us grow. Hey, throw some money our way. We will grow. We will do a lot more with it. And the chipping banner's there to keep us commercial free, uncensored, no ads on the website or anything else. And help us keep it that way, folks. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time for the broadcast. Take care. Have a great night.